Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
This is Fight Back, the internet's premier anti-social justice, anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you.
Good morning. My name is Willie Lawson, and this is Fight Back. We appreciate that you are here this morning. It's early, I know, but there's lots to do today, and there ain't no reason not to start early. There ain't no reason that I can't be kicking Glenn Beck in his ass at 9 o'clock in this, you know what, in this market. There ain't no reason. So you know what? We're just going to go ahead and do it. We're just going to go ahead and do it because the power is not in the thing. It's not that you do or have been known to do. The power is that you are doing, that we are doing. And today we are talking about something that is really at the core of what Fight Back Media is all about, and what the whole concept of Fight Back is all about in the urban corridor, in urban America. It's the money. It's the economics. It's the part that always gets left out. It's the part that nobody wants to talk about in a real way. Nobody wants to discuss. They want to make sure that all that anybody in the urban core, urban America thinks about is racism. You can hear the left's message. And again, this is not a pro Donald Trump show. This is not any of that. But this particular presidential campaign sort of crystallizes the left's approach to urban America. When they know they've got the crappiest candidate, the guiltiest, the most corrupt candidate they've ever had in Hillary Clinton, running against probably one of the weaker candidates that the Republicans have put forth in a while. And from a political standpoint, I don't mean that he can't, that he won't be able to do the job, and some of his ideas are okay, but we're talking about from a purely political standpoint. There are people in that group of 17, including Donald Trump, that are probably better suited for this campaign. None of the rest of them that we're going to get people as stirred up. But I think others that may have stayed more focused in their approach. And I think that's probably good analysis there. You probably want to write that down. You probably want to tell your friends and neighbors about that. When you go to lunch today, after you listen to the show in the morning, and you go to lunch, you'll be able to really speak intelligently about what's going on here. But the thing that nobody wants to talk about, that I personally think that Donald Trump is eminently qualified to talk about, is the economics. Urban economics. I wrote in the show notes, don't be fooled. It's about the money. It has always been about the money. When they tell you it's about racism, it's about the money. When they tell you it's about hate, it's about the money. When they tell you it's about being a xenophobe, a homophobe, it's about the money, because it's always about the money. When they tell you it's about the children, it's about the money. When they try to be your champion in housing, it's about the money. It's always been about the money. Always been about the money. Don't get it twisted. Mind your money and keep the money on your mind. It has always been about the money. And you know what? And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm really not saying it's a bad thing. So don't get it twisted. But it's always been about the money. Always. It's never been about racism. It's never been about who cares more. Never been about any of that crap. It's always been about the money. How can I, as a politician, enhance myself and my family by maintaining my position, thus my power, and my prosperity? It's always been about the money. Please don't even get angry. I'm not even angry about it. I'm not angry or upset about it. I just want people to know that whatever they say it isn't about, it's about that. And they always tell you that it's not about the money, but it certainly is. It is certainly about the money. So when you hear crazy stuff like we need to get some money out of politics, and a lot of people just nod their head like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's cool. Do you really? How can you believe that's true? How could you possibly? Where are you in your life that you believe that they need to get the money out of politics? Because it's generally about the money, and especially in the urban corridor in urban America, it's always been about the money. So we have to look at. I think that we in the urban community have to look at our economics first. Not the boogeyman of Tea Party, Republican, racist first. That's not who we have to be afraid of. And that's not caused our condition. That's not what's caused our condition. What's caused our condition is the collapse of the economic system in urban America. That's what's caused our condition. That's why our schools don't work. That's why our infrastructure is crumbling. That's why our policing and our safety is in danger and at risk. It's because our economic system in urban America has completely collapsed. There is a depression that started in the early 60s in urban America that we have not recovered from. That's what we're talking about. Now, there have been bumps that have bumped up, but that's not what we're talking about. The most poverty is where in urban America? They're both the most dependence on government programs, especially federal programs, are where in urban America? And you got to want, and you know what, you don't have to be that dang on smart to wonder how is this possible? And it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in. There are urban communities here in Tampa, which is a thriving city. I'm going to say a new city, but it's kind of a teenager of major cities that's thriving and moving and grooving and happening. Mayor Buckhorn is busting his hump, putting a whole bunch of stuff downtown. So when convention goers come to town, they can see how we are a bright, vibrant young city, forward thinking, where just a few miles from the downtown center are scads of public housing, dependency, and despair. Just like in every major urban area run by the left. Just like in every area run by the left. You see pictures of Detroit coming back. They always show you downtown, but just a few blocks over. Dependency, desperation, and danger. Kept out of sight. Because it's about the economics. And I think that our culture is attached to economics. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. Actually, we're going to talk about a number of things, but that's one of the things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how our culture is tied to the to our own economics, our habits. And culture is not just where you came from. Your culture is not just that you think that you're related to Kunta Kinte. That's not just your culture. Your culture are in your religious habits, your buying habits, your consumption habits, whether you're consuming food, whether you're consuming media, whether you're consuming politics, whatever you're consuming, that all figures into your culture. That all figures into our culture. And in order to repair our economics, we have to sort of dig deep into the muck and mire of what's been spun as culture. Pull out the splinters, the dirt, the crap, and begin to fix it, to begin to make the changes necessary, to do something about it in a positive way. And that's what it's about, doing something about it in a positive way. And we're going to talk about all these things when we get back. Thanks so much for coming to Fight Back this morning. My name is Willie Lawson. We're talking about urban economics, and we'll be back right after these messages.
So my name is Gary James. I've been helping people make sure that they know what they're talking about when they buy a new home. About the last 2 or 3 years, I'm actually a realtor with Charles Ruttenberg Realty, but New Homes of Tampa Bay is something completely separate from that. When I started New Homes of Tampa Bay, the whole goal was to show people how do you save money when you buy a new home, and then that grew into how do you stay safe, and then that grew into what are the providing people with the same information and resources that I use.
New Homes of Tampa Bay. That's newhomestpa.com.
TheRedRiverChronicle.com. TheRedRiverChronicle.com. www.redriverchronicle.com. Conservative. Concise. Truthful, informative, TheRedRiverChronicle.com, www.RedRiverChronicle.com.
There is no greater American dream than the dream of home ownership. It is one of the things that separates us from the rest of the world. The fact that an average middle-class family can own a piece of property, call it their home, settle there, and raise a family. In the past few years, it has become more and more difficult for middle-class families to attain this dream. But my friends at New Homes of Tampa Bay are making this dream possible for many, many people. New Homes Tampa Bay, www.newhomestpa.com, 813-770-9452.
Facts, faith, and focus. TheRedRiverChronicle.com provides all three with on-point opinion and concise commentary. Start each day with TheRedRiverChronicle.com. That's TheRedRiverChronicle.com.
This is Fight Back, the Internet's premier anti-social justice anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you.
All right, welcome back to Fight Back. My name is Willie Lawson. It is a pleasure to be here. It is November 1st. November 1st. It's already November. Didn't it seem like it was just my birthday? It seemed like it was just my birthday yesterday, but it wasn't. It was my birthday back in September, and it's already November. We've gotten through the mess of Halloween, and we're headed to the family stress of Thanksgiving. Just a few Mondays, frankly, away from Christmas, and 2016 will be in the books. For the good or the bad, it will be in the books. And I think for a lot of people, they're looking so forward to that and starting 2017. I'm so glad that we have the, thank you to the Mayans for giving us the calendar that we have, because we have a, you know, an end of the year, and we get to, and we feel like we get to start again. We feel like we jacked up last year. Maybe we can do better this time. You know, it's like a picture of God's grace. Like, yeah, you jacked that up pretty bad. But, you know, God's mercies are new every morning. So maybe on January 1st, 2017, you can get it right. Maybe now we can get this right. Anyway, we're talking about urban economics. I want to get into a couple of points. As we are quickly running out of time, we want to talk about some of the habits, because habits are end up being part of the cultural decisions, and our cultural decisions and our habits will affect either negatively or positively our economic situation. So there isn't any way that we can leave out culture. And again, culture has been elevated to some great, fabulous, wonderful thing when culture is just the way you always do stuff and how you see stuff. That's all culture is. There isn't any great elevation of culture. And we like, and the sociologists like to elevate it to something, frankly, that it isn't. What it actually is just the way a group of people, usually led by or bound by religion or proximity to one another, geological conditions, geological locations, see, handle, and deal with similarly, and think about similarly any number of situations and conditions. It's very, very simple. It's basically what you always do, how you always think, how you always act. And I think in the urban community, we've had to start looking at some of these things like consumption versus production. There are many studies that say that the urban community is a $6 billion business. $6 billion business, which is why you see in communities that are predominantly 97 to 100% free and reduced lunch, which is why you see major alcohol companies, major cigarette companies advertising with billboard advertising it in those neighborhoods, which is why you see a proliferation of check cashing places in those neighborhoods. Think about this. Why in the hell do you have a proliferation of places to cash checks in the same community where unemployment is the highest? Why do you have that? Well, because the regular economic system has collapsed in those areas. And the check cashing places and the pawn shops are the banks and the credit unions of urban America. That's how you know. Because because even with government subsidies and the like, the black community, the urban community, urban America is a $6 billion business. Who wants to just let a $6 billion business go to waste? So it isn't like there isn't buying power. It isn't like there isn't money, because there is. And although unemployment is high, not everybody is unemployed. You know, I don't ever want to paint the picture that everybody in urban America, every black person needs a job, because that's not true. Black people go to work every day. Everybody in my house is black, and everybody in my house goes to work every damn day. You know what I'm saying? And pretty much every black person that I know personally that's in my circle of friends works every day. Some are underemployed. And some got more stuff than they know what to do with. So it runs the gamut. So no, I am not trying to say by any stretch of the imagination that every black person in America, every person who lives in urban America is unemployed. That's not the truth. But there is higher unemployment in urban America than there is other places, which is one of the reasons why the economic system in urban America has crashed. It's in a depressive state. Well, you're thinking, well, how is this possible if I'm talking about a $6 billion business, how does a $6 billion business end up in a depressive state? You know, Pastor Rob Thompson of Family Harvest Church in Tinsley Park, I think it is, in Chicago, says that poverty is not the lack of money. Poverty is the sign of misspent money. Well, that's when we get into communities' culture of consumerism. Consumerism. And golly, you know, I know I just went from preaching to meddling. I know. But we got to have these discussions. This is the kind of discussions that Fight Back Media wants to have all over the country, wants to bring really talented, smart people to urban America all over the country. That's why we exist. It isn't just so I can do this show. That's not it. I want to be able to actually get, you know what, people in rooms, stakeholders, residents, government officials in rooms to talk about these very issues. It's consumerism. And basically it's consumption versus production. And in urban America, there is a lot more consumption than production. It takes something like, well, I know it's less than a day, and I also know that it that a dollar that is produced in urban America takes less than a day to leave urban America, and normally changes hands on an average of one time inside the community, where in the Chinese community. In places like Chinatown in San Francisco, I think the study showed that a dollar changes hands 19 times before it leaves Chinatown. Do you hear me? 19 times. Now, a lot of people don't know why that matters, but it matters like this, and I'll show you. A dollar is earned in East Tampa, where I live, urban America for sure. And that dollar, if I decide to spend that dollar at a dry cleaners that's in my neighborhood, that hires people who live in my neighborhood, that's one exchange. That dry cleaner pays the people who live in my community. That's another exchange. Hell, that's at least two. And then those people who work at the dry cleaners go to the grocery store in my neighborhood, run by people who live in my neighborhood, the people who work in my neighborhood, that's another two. that grocery store buys supplies from local vendors. That's another exchange. Those local vendors employ people in the neighborhood, That's another exchange. Do you see how that dollar stays home and does a lot of good? So the transfer of dollar is very, very important to the discussion. And this is discussions that are not being had. We're having all sorts of other discussions that matter and don't matter. But the economic discussion is really important. Well, how do we make sure this happens? How can we make sure this happens? Well, because we have to think about the production side of this. Unless we have the black dry cleaners or the urban dry cleaners, unless we have the urban grocery stores, unless we have the urban vendors, and if we don't have any of those things, then that dollar that I spend at the dry cleaners, or if we don't have the dry cleaners, then I want my clothes dry cleaned. I'm going out of the community, and the dollar that I earn leaves the community immediately, never to return. So it doesn't have any benefit here, where it could have had massive benefit if the production side of urban America was more vibrant. If the production side of urban America was more vibrant. And how do we make sure that it is more vibrant? By doing our best to make sure that urban America businesses survive and thrive, and that we create a regulatory environment that makes it possible, that makes it easier. That's why regulation matters. That creates a regulatory environment that makes it easy, that makes it urban America a fertile ground for businesses. Why this all fits together, why economics and education all fits together, because now we have to have a workforce built into the urban community to make sure that we have people to man these businesses that grow organically in urban America. And I'll tell you why it's important that they grow, that they are organic and grow organically. Because a lot of businesses in urban America are planted or transplanted. So it only gives the illusion that dollar stays in the community. We've got a business, and they're popping up everywhere. It's Salem's. It's a restaurant. Sells a bunch of fried food because God knows that we love fried food. I believe that it's, I was going to say owned by Syrians, but I don't think, it may be owned by Syrians. I don't know. Not refugees, but people who have been here for a while. And I see that I have a call online on the newsmaker line, and I'll get to you right after I get this thought out. It seems like that you would, you know, eat there instead of McDonald's. That makes sense, right? Because ostensibly you think that Salem's is hiring people who live in the community, and that money stays in the community. But the fact of the matter is that if we do a little investigation, most of the people who work for Salem's don't live in the community, and that money, when you buy that plate of fried food, because we love fried food so much, it gets jettisoned from the community almost immediately. So it's the illusion of patronizing a business inside the urban corridor here where I live. I'm talking about especially where I live. But it's just an illusion, because that business was transplanted and didn't grow organically. That's what we have to deal with. We have to deal with the organic businesses, because we have to set up a regulatory environment where we can grow these businesses organically in our community, to hope that the money stays in the community a lot longer, so it has a lot more benefit. We have a caller on our newsmaker line, the New Homes Tampa Bay newsmaker line. From the 913, we're going to press the button. The 913, good morning. You're up early. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Peace and blessings. My name is Crystal Tucker.
Hey, Crystal. Good morning.
Good morning. I know that you're talking about the money issue, which, yeah, we don't talk a lot about it. We kind of hit and miss it a lot. And so I've been listening to other podcasts and stuff like that, and other, you know, people who want to do something different in their communities. And so the common ground for all of us as people is that we're all talented in something. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm touching bases on that, okay, use all the artistic value. At the same time, that brings in the community involvement. And then basically from there, that gets them more involved in their community in the right way so that we can encourage entrepreneurship and, you know, really, really support knowing what's going on in our area. Yeah, because especially here in Kansas City, Kansas, on the east side of Wyandotte County, is neglectful versus the west side, where they want to, you know, make it look nice, more suburban, but none of the money is going towards the east side. There's no grocery stores. They took almost all the grocery stores out. The only regular grocery stores are Save-A-Lot and Aldi's, which they don't have everything in there.
No, I understand. And you know what? I'm glad, Crystal, I'm glad you mentioned grocery stores, because sometimes that's overlooked. But that's a station in our lives that no matter where we live, if we have any money at all, we all end up at the grocery store somewhere. And you know what? And the placement of grocery stores is not accidental. They don't spin a big wheel and decide where they're going to drop a grocery store. All these things are thought out, and where we spend our money in urban community in grocery stores is important, because, you know, a good grocery store, how many people understand, earns hundreds of thousands of dollars a day. It's mind-boggling to know how much grocery stores make a day. A public store in a great community here in my county can make $1.5 million a day. It's mind blowing how much money goes through grocery stores. And I'm glad you mentioned that. Because when you see areas like what you're talking about that don't have grocery stores, who have these discount grocery stores like Aldi's, we have Aldi's, and it's like shopping in a, it's actually, frankly, like shopping in a food bank. I mean, that's what they look like to me. I'm sorry. Don't they look like food banks? Everything kind of in a cardboard box.
That is very deep. And everything is in a maze. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They designed the Aldi's like there's one way in, and you can't really work your way back the other way. You have to sort of follow the maze. It's all thought out. It's all planned thought out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with
my network, it basically allowed a platform for all of us. And so now that it's starting to, where I'm starting to connect with different communities, not just in mine, because we're all going through very much similarities, you know, as far as people being in debt from, you know, going to school and then can't even, you know, use their degree to the full potential, you know, there's different things. However, to keep it simple, my network is Art Unity Network.
Art Unity Network. Okay. Do you have a website? You have a website? Is it Art Unity?
It's Art Unity Network, and y'all can check it out on Facebook. That's where it originally started, you know, just by collecting different types of art. Also collecting the supporting our businesses, local, global, you know, and now it's starting to just be a a great platform for people to be able to live off of. You know, everyone complained that we don't have anything. So instead of complaining, you know, great minds think alike, there's solutions. We have solutions, and art is one of them, because art is everything. So therefore, you can't contain art. Art is free. Once we realize that we are free people, you know what I'm saying, we start to do and think different.
I think you're right. And you know what? And I'm a classically trained saxophonist. I play saxophone, flute, and clarinet. So I really think that we can take art, and art is marketing. Art is music. Art, you know, with the visual arts and of course music. That's the marketing that a lot of these businesses, frankly, in our community, don't have access to, because it can be very, very expensive. So a partnership with something like the Art Unity Network, and I'm on Art Unity Network on Facebook right now. Never give up on something you can't go without. Is that what that says?
Yes.
You can't go a day without thinking about. So, you know, these are the kind of things and kind of endeavors that you want to explore. So if you just type it into Facebook, Art Unity Network, you'll find the page. As I'm perusing the page, there's a lot of,
and then also, a lot of cool stuff. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just scrolling down the page, and I'm just enjoying what's on the page. Like those, that little baby in that costume is just adorable.
I know. I try to watch out. No, on my page, I've seen a couple different other ones. I've seen Prince. That was priceless.
I saw the little boy with Prince. That was cute. That was. But there's music on this page. There's artwork. There's poetry. There's all sorts of things. And these are the kind of partnerships that you can really grab onto, especially if you're in the urban core, if you're in urban America, and you know, like I know, it is the economics of our situation that can cure all the other ills. Because once you have a strong economic center, you've got to, you know what, they'll pay attention to you. The people who have not paid attention to you will pay attention to you. Why? Because they know it's about the money. That's why one side of town looks good and the other side of town doesn't look good. That's why here in Tampa, downtown is thriving. If you come into downtown Tampa, you'll think that you have come into a 22nd century city. There's so much stuff. There's so much building. There's so much construction. There's so much new stuff. The beautiful Riverwalk. I mean, it's amazing. But you know, six blocks over, you still have the same sort of dependency and desperation that we've had for 40 years. Right. Why? Because of the money. And I think we get it twisted. Oh, it's not about anything else. And frankly, I don't necessarily think it's about racism. I think it's about the money. And the idea is that if you have the money, and they know we have the money, then they'll pay attention, because the money fixes your schools. It gives you political power. It gives you position. So if we can keep the money in our own community and grow our economic community, fix our own economic system in our own communities, you know what? We're all going to be better off. Crystal, thank you for hipping me to the Art Unity Network. I like it. I'm going to go ahead and like the button. I just did.
Another thing that you can do to take it another step, I went on and tried to separate the Art Unity Network, that's where originally people meet there, but I do interviews on artists as well as other people who own businesses or that are entrepreneur, you know, inspired. And I really want to get to know who they are so that other people could be able to buy from them because of their personality, because of, you know, what they stand for and what they already done. And that's really dynamic. Also, there's a page on Facebook that you guys, if you are really serious even just wanting to be a part of something like this, go to the Real Art Unity Network. You send a friend request, and basically we'll support you the best way that we know how. You just let us know what it is, and then we can start making, you know, events. We can start planning some events there. This is for us. This is to actually build funds for us. Everything is in a specific category, and it's all about innovation. So one thing that I don't know, somebody else do, and it's really wonderful, Bill, because we are willing to work together. We don't know each other. We never met each other, and we never seen each other's faces but on Facebook probably. You know, but we're wanting to set a meet and greet. So, you know, as soon as I get your request, you know, we can go ahead and try to set something as soon as possible, because I see your spirit and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Oh, and there's also a and whose Blog Talk Radio show is this? Is this yours, Crystal?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's creative. It's on Blog Talk Radio. It airs. What's it? It airs at 8 o'clock. What day? Is that every day?
Yeah, every day, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Give or take a couple of days throughout the week to stay active in the community artistically. You know, I'll give or take a couple hours in between. Yeah.
I get it. I get it. I mean, my hope is to be able to be behind the microphone at the same time every day. But, you know, life happens, and the things that we talk about, sometimes we have to go, we actually have to go do. We have to actually get our hands dirty and go do.
Right.
So we can't be behind the microphone all the time, so or in front of the Facebook camera all the time. Because not then we're not doing, we're not then we're just talking.
Exactly. We're just talking. Exactly.
And there's a place for both things, but you gotta have the balance. You gotta have a balance that works. Somebody's gotta talk about it, but then somebody's gotta do it. And if I'm not doing it, then I'm not the person who should be talking about it, frankly. So I understand that sometimes you try to get it done and you just can't get there. I get it. What's the name of your program? Because I want to make sure that everybody knows the name of your program.
The name of my program is Art Unity Network.
Okay.
And it's also, you know, we just play a mixture of music. So I want to open it up more to, you know, musicians to be able to play their music in the background while we're talking. So, you know, basically it can keep the attraction going with natural music. You know, open it up more to R&B and having more female vocals. A lot of attraction towards, you know, conscious music and, you know, neo-soul and stuff like that. So it's really down to earth. Bring in the poetic notes type deal. And it's amazing because I'm an artist and I'm a multi-talented. However, we live in a society where we were supposed to pick one thing, and I was never that type of person. And so, you know, blessings come in disguise, and the things that we go through, you know what I mean, it's not wasted. And so I just live by that, you know what I mean? Now I'm just one of those, you know, starving artists type deal, but I ain't starving, you know what I mean? When we rich in mind and we come together, you know what I mean? That's like more valuable than anything. So I'm really proud of a lot of people in different states coming together. And like I said, it's the Real Art Unity Network. You go there and send a friend request, and that's where we start to, you know, mingle and get things together.
Well, that sounds great, Crystal. I really appreciate you calling in and telling everybody about your network. That's the Art Unity Network. It's on Blog Talk Radio. We try to do it every night, but it's at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. That's for people on my side. That's 9 o'clock our time. I know old people like me. It gets a little close to my bedtime, but you know what? I'm going to tune in the next time for sure. It's about the art. It's about the music. It's about the community. It's about pulling it together because we all understand what we have to do. Crystal, thank you so much for calling, for being up so early, because it's not even 9 o'clock there. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And feel free to call in and we can talk anytime. I appreciate you and what you're doing. I can see that you have the right spirit about this and that you really care about the people that you live with and around the country. So I appreciate you greatly. Until we see you again, take care. All right. That's Crystal from Kansas City. And that's the Art Unity Network. And go ahead and send a friend request to the Real Art Unity Network on Facebook, and she'll get back to you. This idea that we see, and that's the thing, this idea that we can help each other is so important that we don't necessarily have to see each other, that we don't necessarily have to ever meet, that we are in a better condition or better state than we could ever imagine, you know, 10 years ago because of what we're doing right now. So some of these problems that they tell us that we can't solve is nonsense. So of course we can solve them. And we have multi-talented people with you know, what just all sorts of modalities that they are good at, that are willing, that are aching, actually, to help move urban America forward. Because I've said on this show all the time that I think that America gets healed when urban American gets healed. I mentioned this on a video I did last night. If you've got a gunshot wound in your shoulder, you better take care of that first before you take care of the blister on your little toe. Where's the medicine needed more? Right, we're talking about. Listen, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more Fight Back right after these messages. Thank you for calling, Crystal.
You're tired of the cold? You're tired of the taxes? It's time to move to Florida. And our friend, Gary Knight at New Homes of Tampa Bay, is the perfect person to help you. You can just give Gary a call at 813-770-9452, or you can go to the website to look for your brand new home at www.newhomestpa.com. Move to Florida. It's about time.
Facts, faith, and focus. The RedRiverChronicle.com provides all three with on-point opinion and concise commentary. Start each day with the RedRiverChronicle.com. That's the RedRiverChronicle.com.
It's all the rage to call and order flowers from 1-800-WHATEVER or go online and order them from some nameless, faceless person on the other end. I'm saying you should do something different. You should, before doing that, call my friends at Blooming Days Flower Shop, located right here in Tampa, Florida at 11618 North Florida Avenue, 33612. Christine and her staff don't look at just the order. They look at the customer. They look at your occasion. They consider the entire person, the entire occasion, before making decisions about design and price. You're more than just a customer. You're a friend. Call our friends at Blooming Days Flower Shop, toll free, at 1-800-330-3297. 1-800-330-3297. Local 813-971-5947. 813-971-5947.
You can reach them on the web at www.bloomingdays.com.
All right. Well, welcome back to Fight Back Media. We're talking about urban economics. It was great hearing from Crystal from Kansas City. Thank you ever so much for calling. I want to get back to habits. We talk about culture all the time. We talk about culture being being, frankly, I think something elevated when culture is simply what we always do, how we always think about something. That develops a culture. When I worked in the public school system, every school had a culture to it. It's what the expectations were of the students, of themselves, of the expectations of their parents, of the students, the expectation, of course, of the teachers, of the students. It was the expectation of the administration, of the teachers, and the general expectation of the community, of the school. All that in that soup makes the culture, but basically based on habits and thought patterns. So we have to turn, I think, from a consumption-based community to a production-based community. And when I was talking about how dollars need to stay in the community, if you change from a consumption-based community to a production-based community, here's the benefit. Here's what happens. What happens is that people from around your general area who may not live in your community will start spending their dollars in your community, which is what you want. You want them to spend their dollars in your community. So if there is a restaurant, let's use restaurants as examples, because restaurants are great attractors in your community. Then those dollars that weren't in your community before, that were being spent somewhere else in another neighborhood, now come into your community and then can be spread and exchanged multiple times inside your community. This is for some people a huge change in mindset, a huge paradigm shift. But I think, kind of, it's me, I think it's extremely important that the mindset change. And you know what, when I started thinking about restaurants, I started thinking about what kind of attractors do you have in restaurants that are important, that draw people who are outside your community into them. There are a couple of things. Music, because people will travel outside their community to go eat somewhere where there's great music, where it's a cool place, where there may be cool art. We have a place in my neighborhood like that, called Ella's Folk Art Cafe. And at Ella's, it's strewn with really cool art, and there's really hip music there. And people come from all over town. And the cool thing is that Ella hires people who live in the community that the restaurant sits in. So those dollars stay. They don't immediately, when those folks get paid, they don't immediately jettison to some corporate office somewhere in Canada. It stays in the community, and that's really important. If you want to see communities grow, that's the mindset that we have to start having. Now, I know it's different than what we're used to. I know that nobody is saying these kind of things, that we're all focused on whatever mainstream media wants us to focus on. They want us to focus on all the things that have championed our trap. If you fix the economics, think about your own life. If we could fix the economics in our own lives, how much more freedom would we have? And the freedom comes from being able to choose this or that or that. Not having to say, well, I only have money for this, so I got to do this. When you know that options B and C are better options in the long term, but we only have short-term finances. Anybody else in the world here? Anybody else in the room got short-term finances? Where you got to choose that because that's the one you have to do, because that's all you have money to do. It's like when the bills come in, which one of these can I pay? Now you know that the others are going to grow and become a monster with 16 heads later, but you only have money to fix this one. Changing from a consumption to a production model in urban America gives us choices. And when you have choices, that's where freedom becomes the food that grows the community, that makes it a fertile ground. And then you don't have, and then think about this, then you don't have to accept everybody who wants to come in, bred their vermin in your neighborhood. So you don't have to accept the billboard ads for alcohol that they don't put anywhere else. You don't have to accept the billboard ads for tobacco that they don't put it everywhere else, and every other harmful product that is poisoning our kids. You don't have to accept every single restaurant and any number of places that you know are spreading poison into our systems. Places like Salem's, all that fried food. And you know damn well we ain't got no business eating all that fried food. I'm just going to be straight up. You're talking to somebody in 2014 who had triple bypass surgery. Every morning I get up and look at the 7.5-inch scar on my chest when they crack me open, remembering the day that I died a couple years ago, because it's coming up. My 2-year anniversary is coming up next January. So I start to get a little melancholy about that kind of stuff. You know what? So you don't have to accept that, because they don't accept all that stuff in every other neighborhood in where you live. You can start making choices that are better choices. If we first fix the economics of what we're talking about, it is inside versus outside. Can we find a way? And you know what? I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my wife that she is more likely to go to a grocery store. And Crystal and I were talking about grocery stores in our neighborhood than go to a grocery store that's outside our neighborhood. We have a Publix, which is a pretty big company. But the Publix that is in our neighborhood hires people who live in our neighborhood. Wow. Because you can go in and see them and talk to them. She's a manager at a credit union, and a lot of her members, people who live in the community, who are her members, she sees working in the grocery store. And that's a start. Now, that's not the end all, but it's a start. Now, businesses, of course, that are in the urban neighborhood have a obligation to provide high-level services. And sometimes that's not the case, but that's another show, isn't it? But we have to start thinking differently. So when we're thinking about fighting back against the dangerous, destructive, and deadly narratives of the left that have hurt our community, we've got to start thinking first about economics. There's no way around it. There's absolutely, positively no way around not thinking about the money, because, like I said before, don't be fooled. It's about the money, and it's always been about the money. When they tell you it's about something else, it's about the money. I mentioned fair housing, and maybe I'll get to that in another show too. We talk about fair housing because it's about the money. We know that gentrification destroys urban America. It displaces families. The reason they do it isn't necessarily because they don't want Black people to be seen or brown people to be seen. They do it because of the money. And because our neighborhoods are, and our community is so weak financially, that we don't have any choice. We have to acquiesce. We have to give up. Because all we have is short-term dollars. We don't have any long-term dollars. We don't have any long-term economic plan to say, well, you know what? I know you'd like to build that condo for all your little rich white people coming into your community. But we have enough economic power that we're gonna run candidates and win elections to make sure that none of this stuff happens to us or doesn't continue to happen to us, that you don't get to blight my neighborhood so your friends can swoop in and suck it up for a song and then fund your next campaign with it, with part of that money, while everybody smokes a big, you know, a Cuban cigar in your new condos that you built for all your hipster friends. Well, now I'm living in in public housing where I wasn't living before, or worse, I have a mortgage. I have a mortgage that I didn't have before. Why does this stuff happen? Because we don't have a long-term economic base in a lot of our communities. We only have short-term money. Better get that money now, as opposed to being able to fight for a better deal. All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you. Thank you ever so much. Thank you, Crystal, from the Art Unity Network. Go ahead and send a friend request to the Real Art Unity Network on Facebook. Get involved. I'm a fan of art because I am, a classically trained saxophonist who's produced some music and participated in music. And I understand the benefit of art. I understand the benefit from a sociological standpoint, a spiritual standpoint, and frankly, an economic standpoint. It is the art that markets. And with right marketing, we can improve our economic status. And if we improve our economic status, then everything else will follow suit. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks so much for coming to Fight Back this morning. Until we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody. And for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We will see you when we see you.
This is Fight Back, the internet's premier anti-social justice, anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you. Thank you.